Well, that was something. One of the greatest collapses we have ever seen from your Toronto Blue Jays. As the Twins score 6 runs on 1 hit and 8 walks in the bottom of the 8th inning. First blown save of the year for the Blue Jays bullpen, and boy, was it a doozy. The Twins win it 9-5 to sweep the doubleheader. They won 7-0 in the first game. I'm Mike Wilner here at Baseball Control in Toronto, reminding you that we're going to Blue Jays talk it up. So give us a call at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Taking your calls to the bottom of the hour. And certainly quite a bit to talk about that horrible, horrible bottom of the 8th inning. I've been gone a week, and I come back to this. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We will get to your calls, but first, back to Minnesota. A few last words from Jerry Howarth and Joe Siddle.
Thank you, Mike. The player of the game brought to you by Tip Top Tailors. It's all about style. Tip Top Tailors, your menswear shop. The Twins win at 9-5. Let's start with Mike. Who do you like?
You know, I don't like anybody because the Twins had this game handed to them on a silver platter. The Blue Jays were home and cooled, and Minnesota did nothing to deserve this win. Walks and wild pitches, it was handed to them. So I'm going to give it to Jason Kubel because he's the only one who actually had the audacity to get a hit in that bottom of the 8th inning. Congratulations to him. He put the game away with that 2-run single.
And Joe, who do you like?
Well, it's very difficult to pick. Like Mike said, I'll go with Chris Colabello, the American League RBI champ, a big 2-run double in the 5th to get the game back from a 5-1 Toronto lead to 5-3. It got him back in the game. He had 3 hits and a couple RBIs today. Rough day for the Jays.
Colabello came in with 15 RBIs. He had one this afternoon, 3 here. That's 19 RBIs to lead the major leagues. I've got to go with him, too. What a night.
What a night, and it's just it's very unfortunate for the Toronto Blue Jays to leave town on this note. I don't think that plane can get to Cleveland fast enough just to start a new series, and that's what the Toronto Blue Jays are going to have to do. We'll see how they can rebound from something like this.
And if you have questions about the major leagues, you can send them in online to sportsnet.ca/experts, and the answers can be heard on our Home Hardware Ask the Experts segment. That's every Friday during Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Blue Jays Central on Sportsnet TV. Well, here tonight, Twins win it 9-5. Join us tomorrow night from Cleveland and Progressive Field. We're on there at 7 Eastern Daylight Time, 7:05 first pitch. Justin Masterson, no record, ERA 5.87. Drew Hutchison, 1-1 for the Blue Jays, ERA 3.68. That's it here from Minnesota as we send it back to Mike Wellner in Toronto.
Thanks, Jerry. Joe, have a good trip to Cleveland along with Tom Young, and we will talk to you tomorrow night. Now, right now, we will talk to all of you all out there, 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. That was just a mess. I mean, it really was just a mess. The Blue Jays had a 5-3 lead going into the bottom of the 8th inning, and then Steve Delabar, Sergio Santos, Jay Happ come in and could not throw a strike. It was laughable is what it was. By the time it was all over, Delabar walks first two batters he faces and then winds up allowing Eduardo Nunez to drop down a 2-strike sacrifice bunt to move the runners over. He threw 15 pitches. 7 of them were strikes. Sergio Santos came in, faced 3 batters, walked them all, and if that wasn't enough, threw 3 wild pitches, allowing 3 runs to score. He threw 16 pitches. 4 of them were strikes. Jay Happ came in to walk 3 of the first 4 hitters he faced, giving up a single in the middle, before getting the 2 outs to finally end the inning. He threw 26 pitches, only 12 of them were strikes. So if you're counting, in the 8th inning, 3 Toronto Blue Jays pitchers combined to throw 57 pitches. only 23 of them were strikes. They walked 8. They threw 3 wild pitches. They gave up 1 hit and 6 runs. Just terrible, and exactly what I want to come back from a week sick to have to see. 9-5 is the final score. Twins win it. Blue Jays lose the opener of the doubleheader as well, 7-0. So right now they are 3-3 on this road trip as they head into Cleveland for 3 games beginning tomorrow. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. Taking your phone calls at 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. What you need to remember is that the season is 16 games old. So we are 1/10 of the way through. The Blue Jays are 8-8. And they've had 1 blown save from their bullpen. So they're on pace for 10 blown saves, which is outstanding. This was particularly ugly. But still, it's just one game. It's just one loss. It's just one blown save. It is certainly not a referendum on what this team is and what this team has been. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. We start in Bakersfield, California. Matt's listening on MLB.com. Matt, you're the leadoff man tonight on the Blue Jays Talk. Go ahead.
I don't know what really to say, but I think the Fan 590 should have an over-under of what game you're going to stop saying the it's early in the season line. Because Toronto fans don't need to hear that right now. They just saw the Maple Leafs. And what did the Maple Leafs do? They played like crap, but won a few games at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, and they collapsed brutally at the end of the year.
All right, so if the Blue Jays are giving up kind of those kind of innings to scrubs like the Minnesota Twins, what are they going to do later on in the season when it's warmer weather and the ball's flying out of the park? I mean, it was just terrible. There's no silver lining to it. It was bad, and it frightens you as a Blue Jays fan, especially ones who don't live at home and have to pay $25 a month to watch the games. I mean, that just gives me a reason to cancel here in the next month or two, like I have to every season by the summer.
Okay.
I mean, all they did was show crap today, and I wish I could say anything else, but that's all I have to say. Thank you.
All right, thanks. And if that's the attitude that you're going to take, then there's nothing I can say to you. If you're willing to take one half inning, a terrible half inning, and say that's the only thing that means anything, then you're more than entitled to. I mean, it shows a complete and total lack of understanding about the game you're watching, but that's okay. You're entitled to view it that way. Brandon is at Target Field in Minneapolis. Brandon, I hope you're bundled up. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Thank you. No, I'm a little bit cold. You know, it's been a long day. I've been here for 2.
Yep.
It's cold. I'm going to be the last one to leave here. But you know what? This ball club's got a lot of talent and a lot of potential. And, you know, they certainly didn't demonstrate that today because we had really 2 bad innings in 2 different games. And at the end of the day, those fundamentals can really cost you. And really hurt us today, but there's just a lot of exciting things that you see out there, and it's just a matter of them putting it all together. So, but today was definitely not our day.
No, today was definitely not their day. Outscored 16-5 in 2 games. You're right, 2 terrible innings, but they didn't score in the first game. So that makes things really, really difficult. You know, when you only get 4 hits in a game.
It's hard to win those games when you don't score any runs.
Exactly. It's one. Some would say it's impossible to win those games when you don't score any runs. But they had their opportunities in the second game, and they should have won the second game. There are some games that you lose, and there are some games that you give away. And this was a game that the Blue Jays absolutely gave away. And I do feel badly for any Blue Jays fan who sat through both those games in the freezing cold in Minneapolis. So thank you, Brandon, for your perseverance, and hopefully you'll be rewarded at some point in time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right. Let's go to Eric in London, listening on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hello, Eric.
Hey, Mike, how's it going? You sound a little sick. You should grab some lozenges or something like
thank
that.
Thank you. That never occurred to me.
But first of first and foremost. I love to see Kawasaki back, and I love that they're putting him at second base instead of shortstop. But on the commenting on the second game, I don't think there's any need to take Delabar out. I mean, 2020 hindsight, you know, I love John Gibbons, but it didn't work out tonight. You took him out too early, and then he's your eighth inning guy. You got to give him a chance to do his job and finish off that inning. Like, Santos is not a five-out save guy, and personally, I don't think Jansen is a five-out save guy either. I really think you got to stick with Delabar there.
Well, he wasn't throwing any strikes. He'd walked two guys he'd faced, and then he gave up a two-out bunt. So I think.
But now you're putting it all on the shoulders of Santos.
Yeah, well, but that's what the,
and then
that's Hap
your is your backup
for.
Guy. I mean, Hap has now started his season with three runs in before even getting an out.
Hap only gave up one run, but J-Hap is not. Like, there's no way that you ever imagine you're going to J-Hap in any situation in this game.
No,
Steve Delabar showed that he didn't have it tonight. Sergio Santos is your strikeout guy, so I don't have a problem going to Sergio Santos there.
For five outs?
Well, yeah, for five outs. I you know, it's not something he hasn't done in the past. It's not like he wasn't well rested, right? He pitched an inning on Tuesday, and then before that, hadn't pitched in a few days. So I you know, and he'd been really, really good.
I'd
so
just
far
like
this
to see
year.
A tad bit more faith in Delabar, I guess.
Maybe, and I can understand the argument that maybe a little more faith in Brett Cecil.
Well,
because
as
Brett
well.
Cecil was only given the one out, and that really kind of ties your hands.
Yep.
A little bit. But, you know, when a guy comes in and he doesn't throw strikes, and all of a sudden the tying run is in scoring position, and you need a strikeout, I certainly have no problem going to my strikeout guy.
Fair enough. But you're right. Cecil can definitely get lefties and righties, so maybe even stick with him in that situation.
Maybe. Thank you, Eric. Appreciate the call. Regardless, I mean, this isn't on John Gibbons. This is on the Blue Jays relievers' complete and utter inability to throw strikes in the eighth inning. An eight-walk inning. Eight walks. Russ is in Jersey listening on the MLB.com audio package. Hello, Russ.
How are you? Not much to say on those eight walks. I've watched baseball for a long time, and I don't remember seeing anything close to what happened here. Two comments, first of all. Number one, it seems like the Blue Jays' starting pitching has been either great or terrible. They haven't had many in-between games, today being two games where the starting pitching was pretty bad.
No, I think today was a very in-between game, other than the fact that McGowan couldn't go deep in the game.
Like, pitch four innings, you know, after Dickey, it gets far in the other game. So you pitch four innings, I'm not sure. I don't, you know, six hits, three walks.
Oh, I'm not saying I'm thrilled by it, but when, you know, you say it's been either great or terrible, I think there have been two or three games where it's been neither great nor terrible. Today was one of them. The second game was one of them. But your point is well taken. Far too often, it's been all or nothing out of the Blue Jays starting pitching.
Now, one more comment, and I know it's going to go unnoticed, but, you know, Anthony goes to three walks today.
Yep.
Now, if you look at him, you always say the guy, you know, you can't steal first base. And, you know, last year, I don't know what he had, six, seven, I don't know what he had. In his 50, 55 games last year that he played for the Blue Jays.
Yeah, he had five walks last year.
What did he have?
I think it was five.
Five. You know, if he figured it out this year, and, you know, that's his game, it's the speed game, and it's getting on base. And if he can figure it out, and I know it's only one game, but three walks for him is about more than, if it was five, more than half his total from last year. You know, the guy could definitely be a good asset for this team, you know, because his game is getting on base and making things happen on the base pass. So, you know, a little bit of a silver lining to a pretty bad night.
If Anthony Gose can become even a decent hitter, he would be an extraordinarily valuable weapon for this team. Now, he may well be on his way back to Buffalo right now. He was the 26th man up for the doubleheader. We don't know what the roster move is yet. Haven't seen any announcements. And with Adam Lind's back and Colby Rasmus's legs bothering them, there may be a way that Gose stays and somebody else goes back down. But it was definitely a good day for him, Russ. Absolutely, with the three walks and the stolen base.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. He's about the only one for whom it was a good day. Blue Jays get dumped both ends of a doubleheader by a combined score of 16-5. And insult to insult, 8 walks in the 8th inning issued by Steve Delabar, Sergio Santos, and Jay Happ. The Twins sent the first 8 men to the plate in the inning, and they were a combined 0-for-0 before the first official at bat of the inning was Jason Kubel's 2-run single off of Jay Happ. Wade is in Stouffville listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hello, Wade.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
We've had better nights. What's
we've
that?
Had better, yeah, exactly. We've had much better nights. Well, first of all, before the weather really screwed us, I really like the pitching matchups before the doubleheader change. It was a great move by Minnesota to bump up Gibson. I really liked Dickey versus Pelfrey, but everything changed after, and we end up getting screwed with Dickey because Dickey, we have to score runs for Dickey to be effective. If not, the other teams take pitches, and they can afford to take pitches because we're not scoring any runs. And he was not effective. Okay, the cold, but everyone's got to pitch in the cold. And then another thing, tonight, I don't know why they did not keep Cecil in the game. No one could throw strikes after, but I think it was only one guy, Cecil.
He only faced one batter.
Yeah, they should definitely have kept him in. I don't know why they made the switch, but, you know, we lost. We lost hard. I hope it's lesson learned. Hope it's just the weather. I like a lot of things I've seen this year, but the Jays definitely need a few more reinforcements.
Well, reinforcements are coming. Jose Reyes will be up on Saturday, and they could certainly use that. Hopefully he's healthy, and it's hard to imagine Adam Lind not winding up on the disabled list. I don't know that I agree with the point about Dickey. And Cecil, that was a quick hook for Brett Cecil. I think so, too. After one batter, you had a righty leading off the bottom of the 8th inning, but Cecil's shown he can get everybody out. And I know Delabar's your 8th inning guy, and Santos is your 9th inning guy, but you're really not leaving yourself any margin for error, which is not to say anyone could have known that neither Delabar nor Santos was going to be able to throw a strike. 9-5, Blue Jays lose to the Twins. If you missed it, Santos, Delabar, Jay Happ combined to walk 8 in the bottom of the 8th inning and hand the Minnesota Twins this win. First blown save of the year for the Toronto Blue Jays. Steve is in Newmarket. Hello, Steve.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to say it's so frustrating this year to keep watching the Jays blow these
this is
open
the
games
first,
that they could be winning.
First like, game that they have blown all year.
No, I'm talking, first about time. I'm talking about a series. I meant Tampa. For instance, they had the chance to take the series. They had a chance to take Houston. They keep putting themselves into these positions to do incredibly well, to pull off a great series win, but yet they keep blowing it. It seems like it just cannot come through.
They got the series win against Houston. They didn't get the sweep. They got the series win against Baltimore. I noticed you conveniently left that one out. And they lost today. And they're in a position to win series. And right now they're .500. Team. You're right. I wouldn't consider it blowing a game when you weren't. I mean, this game they very obviously blew, and they blew it really hard. But I don't think the other part of your point is fair at all.
Well, I'm talking about more the things that's going to separate them from a playoff team. I'm talking, they have to be winning these games, and it's just so frustrating to see that, okay, true, that they did. This is the only fair game that they've actually blown. But I'm talking about just being able to pull off a sweep. Now I'm not going to leave Baltimore. I'll even say that their offense failed to come to life. I mean, they had so many chances, and they keep putting themselves in this position to win, and they just cannot get it.
Except they did in Baltimore.
Pardon me?
Except that they did in Baltimore.
In Baltimore, sure, but what about the other series?
Yeah, they didn't. They lost the game that could have given them a road series, 4-game series win in Tampa, which you must admit are exceedingly rare. The Yankee series, yeah, was not a lovely last game for them, for sure. The Astros, they didn't sweep. But again, to ask for a sweep is to ask for a whole lot. Right now, they're okay. And if they hadn't had a complete and utter meltdown tonight, they'd be 9-7 and a half game out of first place, and there's not a thing wrong with that. but they had a complete and utter meltdown tonight, and it was pretty horrible.
But even, okay, one last point. Even about Tampa, why does it have to be something where obviously they suck down there, but why can't they just pull off a series win in Tampa in these past 20 attempts or whatever it is?
I don't know. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's silly, and there's really no legit explanation for it. That said, winning a four-game series on the road is really, 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 really difficult. And whether it's a house of horrors like Tampa or not, winning a four-game series on the road, not losing, but winning 3 out of 4 or 4 out of 4 is really, really hard to do.
No, that makes sense. But I'm talking also just in 20 attempts.
Even I know. It's unexplainable.
Anyway, yeah. It shouldn't have to be rare, but thanks for taking my call.
All right. Appreciate it. Blue Jays lose 9-5, back half of a doubleheader. They lost the opener 7-0. This was just awful. Just awful, the way they lost it, handing the Twins a win. 3 runs in the 8th inning, score on Sergio Santos, wild pitches. 8 walks in the inning. A 6-run frame in which Minnesota managed just 1 hit. Jeff is in North Carolina listening on MLB.com. Jeff, welcome to the Blue Jays talk.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead.
Everybody's focusing tonight on the inning from hell, as I'll call it, and rightfully so. But I wanted to mention also that, you know, the Jays also hurt themselves by just leaving a lot of guys on base.
Yep.
They had 11 left on base tonight. And for the season, they are batting 194 with runners in scoring position. So there's a lot of missed opportunities, including I thought Ryan Goins should have been a little bit more patient when he swung at the first pitch and grounded into a double play with Goins on first. So I think it's not just the bullpen tonight, but the offense left a lot of guys on, and they need to capitalize on more of those opportunities.
They do, but it's just the bullpen tonight. Is when you walk 8 guys in an inning that you go into with a 2-run lead. I mean, that was the bullpen handing Minnesota a win. Your point is well taken. They did leave a lot of guys on base. They had some opportunities. I wouldn't say that they left any spectacular opportunities in this game, except the second inning. You got first and third, one out, and the top of your lineup coming up. But other than that, most of the chances came with the bottom of the order coming up or with two out. But, yeah, the overall number with runners in scoring position is certainly rough, and they could score more runs. But when you're – you know, when 8 guys in a row come up in the bottom of the 8th inning and nobody gets a hit and you score 6 runs, and that's this game should have been a Blue Jays win, even with all those guys left on base.
Can I make one last quick point?
Sure.
People say it's the weather, but, you know, if the Jays want to be a championship team, they're going to be playing in October. They could be playing an ALCS in Boston or New York. They got to figure out how to pitch in 40-degree type weather.
There is no question about that. That is the absolute truth. And you know what? Weather is as weather does. Glenn Perkins didn't have a problem with the weather. Casey Fiend didn't have a problem with the weather. Sam Deduno didn't have a problem with the weather. Aaron Loop, Brett Cecil, Neil Wagner didn't have a problem with the weather. So it ain't the weather. Thank you for the call, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the ugliest innings you're ever going to see. The Blue Jays give up 6 runs in an 8-walk 8th inning. 1 hit. Brian is in Waterloo listening on Sportsnet590.ca. Hello, Brian.
Hi, Mike. Can you hear me fine?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, 3 things off the top, man. That's probably one of the most disgusting innings I've ever watched as a Blue Jays fan in a long time. I'm just disappointed in how, like, these professional ball players. I don't know why Santos. Yeah, I don't know why he chooses not to throw strikes. Why do you keep on going back to the slider?
You think he chose not to throw strikes? You don't honestly think that.
Like, why do you keep on throwing a slider, though? Like, why can't you throw a fastball, you know, around the plate instead of trying to bait the batter into swing?
I don't think he was trying to bait anybody into swinging. I think he very obviously had no control of his fastball and decided that the slider was the only thing he could throw for strikes and couldn't do that either. He did try to throw a couple of fastballs, and those were a couple of the pitches that didn't make it to the plate and wound up near the dugout off of Navarro.
Okay, well, all right. Well, and also to the callers that are talking about the weather and how it's an excuse. Well, like you said, it's not an excuse. Both teams had to play through this weather, and clearly we didn't play in the eighth inning. And my second point is that, you know, you always say it's early, Mike, and I can't agree with that. We can't say that. Blue Jays aren't a good enough team to say it's early. Every game has to be like our last game. You can't afford to lose games like this.
Yeah, you can't play baseball like that. Baseball doesn't work like that. You can't play every game like it's the seventh game of the World Series. You run yourself into the ground by the end of April. I know there's this whole thing that people love to talk about, how I spent last year saying it's early, it's early, it's early. And you know what? The truth of the matter is because it is, and it was. And a lot of people conveniently forget that the Blue Jays were ahead of the Tampa Bay Rays in the standings at the end of June last year. Ahead of them. And the Tampa Bay Rays wound up making the playoffs. The Rays were in last place at the end of June. Last place in the American League East. It is April the 17th. Anyone deciding on the outcome of a season on April the 17th or May the 17th or June the 17th or even ask the Houston Astros July the 17th just doesn't understand what a 162-game season is. And I get it. That's okay. You're allowed to be passionate. You want your team to win. You want your team to win every game. If the Blue Jays win tomorrow and Saturday, they're on pace for a 90-win season again. Just like they were when they went into the game today. The fluctuations are huge. The amount of time remaining is ridiculous. There's 90% of the season left. They don't have to win every game. They shouldn't be giving games away like they did tonight. No team should ever do that. But the fact that they did doesn't mean anything other than two guys pitched like crap tonight. Throw Jay Happ in there, although the barn door was already swinging by the time he came in. Gary in Toronto. Hello, Gary.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
All right, go ahead.
A lot of people are hard on Gibbons. I'm pretty okay with him, but I thought it was a little weird that with an eight-man pen and three long men, that when your starter only goes four innings, that you don't bring in a long guy. Like, even if you brought in Loop to get out of the jam in that inning, wouldn't you bring a guy in to give you three innings?
You bring in a reliever to pitch a sixth, seventh, and eighth in a two-run game?
Yeah, or five, six, seven, right?
Well, no, if Loop gets you out of the jam, you're out of the fifth, right? So we've moved to the sixth.
Yeah, but
it's 5-3 in the sixth. You're going to go to Esmail Rogers or Jay Happ in a two-run game in the sixth inning?
Well, ideally, I would probably go to Todd Redman, but they already used him as a mop-up guy in the first game.
Right.
I just think, wouldn't you put Esmail as a mop-up in the first game? I don't know. For me, I think if you're going to go through six relievers over the course of, I guess, five innings or whatever it is, like, you're bound to have one of them mess it up, right?
Right, one, that's fine, and you got backup for one. You don't have backup for three, which is what happened tonight.
Right.
You know, I'm confident in giving Aaron Loop those two innings, and then once Aaron Loop is done, I'm not yanking Aaron Loop after the fifth inning when he did such a good job and still had some bullets.
But are long guys only mop-up guys when you're losing by a lot, or can you not count on a guy when your starter only goes four innings and is still in the lead to give you a couple innings?
Well, your long guys tend not to be your better relievers, right? So if you're winning, if it's a close game, you want to keep it that way. You don't want to bring your worst reliever in to pitch in the sixth inning. Do you?
Well, who's the worst reliever? Like,
I think clearly Esmail Rogers and Jay Happ are the worst relievers on this team.
Yeah. Well.
Right? So why would you bring them in when you've got a two-run lead in the sixth inning just because it's the sixth inning?
Well, then you at least have to leave Cecil in there for more than three pitches, right?
Maybe, yeah. And maybe that's the thing. And we discussed that a little bit earlier in the program. Cecil actually only threw two pitches. But maybe you do want to leave him in when you realize that you just don't have that much back. But I don't think the answer is going to a long man in the sixth just because it's the sixth. You want your best relievers in your highest leverage situation, and a two-run lead in the sixth inning is certainly a high leverage situation. Blue Jays lose it 9-5 to the Minnesota Twins. Let's go to Marshall in Richmond Hill, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Oh, boy. Mike, it's early. Don't let anybody tell you any differently.
Well, they can tell me that all they want.
I'm disappointed in a doubleheader loss to Minnesota, just like anybody else is. But it's very early, and even if six or seven pitchers could figure it out today, well, clearly Sergio Santos couldn't. But that's not because he's not going to or hasn't been able to, up to now or going forward. And so I write today off completely to the weather, and I'm willing to look past that completely. But I haven't spoken to you yet this year, and I really wanted to comment on the greater picture and the fact that I'm probably one of very few people, I think, that was very satisfied with the Blue Jays' off-season or lack of activity in the off-season. And I think it took a lot more stones for Alex to do what he did this year than even to do what he did last year. And, you know, because of the pressure on him to do something this year. And, you know, I think, you know, Jose Reyes played four meaningful games for us last year and then was gone until we were out of it. And he played one inning this year. We haven't seen that guy yet. When he comes back and you put an all-star in the lineup and he starts playing meaningful games for this season and you start getting production out of him like we're seeing from Melky Cabrera when he came back healthy, that's enough. The one thing that I would like to see differently, and I think that we are lacking, is I don't think we have an ace. I know you don't think we need an ace, but I think we do, and I think that you know, our top of the order guy is probably as unreliable as any guy we have in the order, and I think that's our weakness at this point.
I don't think that's unfair. I have to let you go because we're up against the clock. I don't think the Blue Jays have an ace. Like you said, I don't really think they need an ace. Every team could use one, very obviously. It is great to see Marcus Stroman lighting it up in Buffalo. He pitched very well again today. He's not going to emerge as an ace, but it's another good big league arm potentially that we'll see this year. And I wish I had more time to get into the whole comment of yours. So I'll have to wait till after we come back. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We will continue to Blue Jays talk it up on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Jays lose 16-5, both games of the doubleheader. It is a Honda postgame show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Don't miss a pitch of Blue Jays baseball.
Hi, this is Drew Hutchison. You're listening to Blue Jays Baseball on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
At Porter, we're having a short promotion. But the savings? Just the opposite. They're big. They're tall. They're towering. You can save up to 50% off base fares. Yes, save up to 50% off base fares with certain conditions, but only until Thursday. Yes, it's a short promotion with towering savings, but only available till Thursday. The long and the short of it. Hurry to flyporter.com and book today. Porter. Flying refined.
Spence offers the largest selection of engagement rings in Canada.
Nearly 4,000 different styles.
That alone should be enough to convince you to visit.
But wait, there's more.
Spence also has prettier diamonds.
You'll agree the instant you see them.
And no one can beat Spence prices.
There we go.
No one.
That's pretty much it, really.
Yep, that's about it.
Join the in crowd.
Come to Spence.
Spence.
Woo!
Off Brimley, outside Scarborough Town Center, next to Colossus Theater in Vaughan, and in Mississauga near Square One.
Before the game, after the game, and during the game. It's all about Blue Jays baseball. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
An especially ugly one for your Toronto Blue Jays today. They lose the opener of a doubleheader 7-0 to the Minnesota Twins, and then 5-3 lead going into the bottom of the eighth. Steve Delabar, Sergio Santos, Jay Happ combined to issue 8 walks, and Santos throws 3 wild pitches. And the Blue Jays lose it 9-5. We'll continue the Blue Jays talk on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, up until midnight Eastern, so stick with us. Tomorrow, Jays open a 3-game set in Cleveland. We're on at 7 Eastern for a 7:05 first pitch. Drew Hutchison against Justin Masterson. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware, homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form. Any accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Dan Riccio, J.D. Bunkus, I'm Mike Wilner. Good night from Toronto.
Sportsnet 590. The Fan. This is Hoops. It's online entertainment that's safe for work. Well, usually. Tim and Sid. Listen online. Afternoons on Sportsnet590.ca.
Markham Infinity has been awarded the Infinity Master Elite Award for our work over the last year. I'm proud of our dealership and our staff who have earned this recognition from Infinity. Bob and I are on the floor every day to maintain this high standard of sales and customer relations. This year, we have continued this growth with our sales up 70% over 2013. And we continue to be a top-rated customer service retailer. Visit us at markhaminfinity.com. I'm Bill Steven, and this is your Markham Infinity.
Line to center field, that's a base hit. Through into center field, there goes another one.
Don't miss a minute of Blue Jays baseball on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Jose Bautista tied for the Major League home run lead. Those were heady days indeed. The Blue Jays had a 3-1 lead at that point in the fifth. They added a couple more runs and were up 5-1. But Dustin McGowan, after that long fifth inning, came out for the bottom of the fifth, gave up a single, a walk, a 2-run double. He was gone. In came Aaron Loop to throw 2 perfect innings. Neil Wagner got a couple outs. Brett Cecil got the final out of the seventh inning, and then the nightmare began. Bottom of the eighth, Steve Delabar walks a couple. Then a 2-strike bunt moves runners to second and third, and in comes Sergio Santos. Throws a wild pitch to score a run, walks a guy, throws a wild pitch, throws another wild pitch to score a run, walks a guy, walks another guy, leaves, the lead gone. Jay Happ comes in, walks 2 in a row, and then the Twins finally get their first hit of the eighth inning. The ninth batter, Jason Kubla, it's a 2-run single, and Jay Happ liked it so much he walked the next guy. 8 walks for the Blue Jays in the bottom of the eighth inning as they hand the game to the Minnesota Twins, who score 6 runs on 1 hit in the bottom of the eighth in a 9-5 win. Second game of a doubleheader. The Jays are now 8-8 on the season, 3-3 on this road trip that continues through Cleveland for the weekend. I'm Mike Wilner, taking your calls up to the top of the hour. Andrew is in Hamilton. Welcome to the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Thank you. Good evening. First a comment and then just a question for you, Mike.
Sure.
My comment is about Navarro. I've been really impressed by this guy. He's been a great addition to the team, a difference maker in my opinion. He's fun to watch. He's contributing with the bat, and he's handling the pitching staff very, very well. And the question I have is just about the game tonight. Obviously, it was frustrating, and it was especially frustrating watching Santos struggle out there. But why did he keep coming back with the breaking ball time and time again, even though he couldn't get it off the plate and, you know, over the plate, excuse me, and 3 wild pitches off of it? Just your feedback on that. I'd really be interested to hear why he kept coming back with that pitch, despite the fact that he was struggling with it.
I don't think all the wild pitches were off the slider. I think a couple of them were fastballs that he bounced. I could be wrong. I'm taking a look. Now, the first wild pitch was on a fastball. Couple of others. Well, I'm not sure. I will say this. He did not throw a fastball for a strike. He didn't throw too many sliders for strikes either, but he did throw sliders for strikes, and I can only assume that the reason that they kept going slider with Santos was because he showed in his 8 warm-up pitches on the mound that he could not throw his fastball for a strike, that he had no feel for it and just wasn't able to throw it for a strike, and that's why they stayed away from it. I can only assume. I mean, remember, you know, none of these guys are idiots. They all know what they're doing out there, and they've been doing it for a long time. And when you recognize that something isn't working, you go to something else that might work, and I think it probably did not take long to recognize that in Santos. And it may have come from him, too.
Do you think the weather had anything to do with that, or was just his control?
No, I think it had more to do with the weather than anything else, but I also don't think, I don't think that's an excuse. You have to be prepared to be able to pitch in that kind of weather. Everybody else could. So Santos needs to be able to, too. Thank you, Andrew. I do appreciate it. And it's interesting that Andrew brings up Deonner Navarro and talks about how much he likes Deonner Navarro. And I've heard from a lot of people how much they enjoy Deonner Navarro and the great things they think they see from Deonner Navarro. If this inning had happened last year, I think 90% of this Blue Jays talk would be about J.P. Arencibia and how terrible he is at calling pitches and how it's all his fault. It is amazing how much your perception affects your reality. Dave is somewhere in Ohio listening on Sirius XM Radio. Dave, welcome to the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Well, I'm a little upset, perturbed, mad, disgusted, busted, and can't be trusted.
I'm sorry about the busted part. I don't get that, but everything else is reasonable.
What is going on with that pitching staff?
It was a bad inning, Dave. You know, Gregor Chisholm of MLB.com just tweeted that going into that eighth inning tonight, the combination of Loop, Delabar, Cecil Wagner, and Santos had a 2.10 ERA in 30 innings without having allowed an inherited runner to score. The bullpen had been outstanding. It was a bad inning.
Yep. And, you know, they should have pulled Santos after the second walk.
Well, for Jay Happ? It's not
whatever.
Like... Yeah.
He was throwing the ball into the dirt, and Navarro couldn't hold on to it. And it was just, I don't know. When are they going to bring up Romero to give him a shot and these two kids they got down in Buffalo?
I think this is the point at which Blue Jays fandom moves into insanity. When you're asking for Ricky Romero over Sergio Santos and Steve Delabar, that is a time where you need to step away from the telephone. You just do. Paul is in Brampton. Hello, Paul.
Mike, how are you?
I've been better. Go ahead.
Sorry that you had to battle through the health, but I'm glad that you're back.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back.
I don't understand everybody jumping off the bandwagon already. I mean, we're what, 16 games into the season?
16 games in, just less than 1/10 of the way through.
It's a game of patience, not just the game itself, but the season. And we're 2 games behind the Yankees from first, who only had to play the Cubs to get those 2 games ahead.
Well, the Blue Jays just play Minnesota, though. I mean, be fair.
Okay, but Minnesota's not terrible.
Minnesota's pretty terrible. And the Blue Jays also just played Houston, too. So
this is true. But if anybody wants to give me their tickets because they're jumping off the bandwagon, I mean, I'll take them. I don't get it. It's like you said, we still have 145 games or something like that?
146.
146. There you go. Thank you.
No problem. Yeah, this was a terrible game. It was. It was a terrible inning. It's a terrible day. They lose both ends of a doubleheader to a team that's not very good. But that's all it was. That's all it was. Terrible day. And it's okay, and I understand that sports fandom seems to have evolved to the point where nothing can just be a bad game or a bad half inning or a bad period or a bad quarter. Nothing can be that. Everything has to be the worst thing ever or the season's over or the best thing ever and, you know, plan the parade. Blue Jays won 5 of their last 7 games before today. They'd scored 20 runs in their last 2 games before today. Everything was wonderful. And now everything is terrible? Over a 6-month season where you're playing every day? It just doesn't work like that. 416-870-0590, star 590 on your cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Back to the phones. Ben's in Oakville. Welcome to the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hello, Ben.
Hey, Mike. I just wanted to say really quickly, thank you for your positivity. You know, so many people call on the show just saying that the world's like ending because it's been one bad game. And I think you're totally right that it's just one bad inning and you can't expect them to win it all. So I just wanted to say real quick that thanks for, you know, staying positive and looking on the bright side, because with some of these Jays fans, it's really easy to just get super down with all these callers. So thank you.
I appreciate it, but I feel, again, as always, and I tell this to lots of callers, I'm not super positive, and I'm not looking on the bright side. I'm just explaining to you guys what's going on. This was a horrible game, and this was a terrible day. Lose 7-0 in the opener and then hand a team 6 runs at the bottom of the 8th. I don't understand how my saying that this was horrible is being positive. It's one of the worst meltdowns we've ever seen. Now, if my saying that that doesn't mean that this is a terrible team and they're not going to win another game all year long is being positive, then we really have a skewed view of what positive and negative are. Michael and Markham.
Hey, Mike. You're right. You know, like, it's a bad inning, obviously, and that happens. And, you know, so do bad games and bad outings and injuries. And, you know, we got guys coming up the farm system. And, you know, there's a lot of things that are truisms. But at the end of the day, you know, you look back and it's 20 years. And you can make all these, I don't want to say excuses, but you can say all these cliche things day after day. It's one day, it's early, it's 162 games, so-and-so's injured, we're waiting to call up, so whatever. But at the end of the day, you look behind you, and there's 20 years between you and being competitive.
Uh-huh.
So you can't blame people for looking at what happened in this inning tonight and saying, you know what, we got this same roster as we did last year. And you know the definition of insanity, right?
Don't say it, please. Don't tell me that I talk in cliches and then you pull out some crap like that.
That's not crap.
If you look at last year and the roster last year and the games played by the people on the roster last year, and you look at this roster and you say that it's the same, then you're either being intellectually dishonest or just being completely lazy.
How is the roster improved?
6 guys missed 40 games last year.
I'm talking about personnel-wise.
But you can't talk about that in a vacuum. And I don't want to get into this whole thing about, you know, what happened last year, but if you honestly believe...
Who are the 6 guys that missed 40 games?
Jose Reyes, Bautista, Brett Laurie.
Laurie? You know what?
What?
I think we can do without Laurie. Well, okay. I don't know what the patience level is on him and the center fielder, but how long are you going to wait on these guys?
Yeah, that center fielder sucks. He was hitting .400 this last week until
I'm talking about Colby.
Today. Yeah, me too.
Colby Rasmus.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you the know? Guy who had like the 800-plus OPS and played great defense in center field last year when
he was
on the field.
It's early, Mike. It's early.
I'm talking about last season. Look, you want to call and be an ass, you're more than welcome to call and be an ass. But remember that the only one you're making an ass out of is yourself. If you want to say this is the same team as last year, same personnel as last year, and nothing's changed and it's insane to expect a different result, you are entitled to your opinion. You're also, again, either being intentionally dishonest or intellectually very, very, very lazy. Jose Reyes played 93 games last year. Melky Cabrera played 88 games last year with a tumor in his back. Brett Laurie played 107 games last year. Colby Rasmus and Jose Bautista played 118 games each last year. Those are significant things. If you don't want to see them as significant things, your prerogative doesn't make you right. Taylor in Toronto, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Hi, Mike. I have a quick question for you. I kind of want to understand the nature of the beast behind a knuckleball pitcher.
Yeah, I think
everybody
does.
Do you think
they'd
have more or less adversity to the cold? Or more? Do you think that R.A. Dickey had more adversity to the cold today? Because, I mean, I watched the knuckleballer documentary on Netflix, and they said, like, you really do need the fingertips of a safe cracker to get a knuckleball perfect. And over 80 pitches in a game, how much do you think the cold weather is going to affect him and affect him down the stretch?
You know, this is the problem with relying on a knuckleballer. I do think that, grip is so important and so key. And the being able to feel the tips of your fingers is equally important for that grip. And very obviously, when you're pitching in below zero weather, you're going to have a problem feeling the tips of your fingers. You're going to have a problem with the grip, and you're not going to be able to pitch to your best efficiency. The problem is you got to take the ball every 5 days. So you have to figure out a way to get the job done when you're not at your best. Because
Do you think they have a lot more? I know we're saying, I don't want to talk about the eighth inning in the second game, but I know we're saying that the other guys had got it done when they needed to, and we couldn't when we needed to. But do you think for a knuckleballer, for RA today, I mean, he hasn't had the most tremendous start to the season, but I'll forgive that. But do you think for a knuckleballer that today you just write off? Do you keep him in the bullpen? You can't with the doubleheader, but...
Oh, you don't take him out of the starting. I mean, that's crazy talk to take a guy out of the starting rotation after four starts, three of which were bad and one of which was incredible. This guy was arguably your best pitcher last year and won the Cy Young the year before that. So, no, R.A. Dickey gets another dozen starts for me before you even think about taking him out of the rotation. You can't have that kind of knee-jerk reaction to some poor starts early on. Took him 2 months to find his groove last year, and he still had a few buttes inside those 2 months. Sam is in Curtis, Ontario. Sam, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Yeah, hi, Mike. Tough night.
Yep.
Tough day, actually.
Yep.
Prospects. Over the last, say, 5-7 years, what has the Jays got in their system that's made it to the major leagues and stayed with them?
Well, remember, too, that a lot of them were traded for Jose Reyes and Mark Burley and R.A. Dickey and Josh Johnson, and that's a viable way.
That was really number one prospect that's going to amount to something.
Well, nobody.
They really haven't been successful, do you think?
Well, like I said, a lot of them got traded, so that kind of gets in the way of having them come to the major leagues and perform. The Blue Jays have had the unfortunate circumstance of drafting in the middle in a crapshoot type draft. Now, they have swung and missed on a few people in order to, I guess, play it safe rather than take a chance on people. But once Alex Anthopoulos took over, they started to swing for the fences a little bit more and brought in some more high-ceiling guys that aren't here yet. And again, a lot of them are gone. Noah Syndergaard's gone. Justin Nicolino's gone. Henderson Alvarez is gone. Travis Darno is gone. So it's not exactly a fair question, Sam, if you're looking for me to rattle off a bunch of names of prospects who have made it and who have been great for the Blue Jays the last few years. Because,
well, I think it's a fair question, Mike, because they haven't got any.
Well, except
overall.
If
you go back 10 years,
uh-huh,
and they're 5 to 7 years to develop them, we uh-huh haven't got anybody that can say this is a true Blue Jay. That's a true Blue Jay. The last couple of years, their number ones, they didn't get signed.
Nope, but they signed 2 through 10.
But what other team didn't sign the number one picks?
No, only the Blue Jays.
That's right.
Yep.
So we can see where they're at.
No, well, only if you're looking at it a very, very tunnel vision-like view where reasons for things don't matter. If reasons for things matter, then you understand that most of the Blue Jays' top prospects were moved in trades for quality major league players, and that the Blue Jays did very, very well with the first-round picks they got back for not signing those first-round picks. Time for one more. Alex. Alex is in Hure, Ontario. Hure, Ontario is a place now?
It's Ayr, Ontario.
Oh, Ayr. All right. Welcome yeah aboard, Alex.
Thanks very much, Mike. I just wanted to bring some positivity to the whole thing. R.A. Dickey had a bad outing. You know what? That's going to happen. And Dustin McGowan, I mean, how many starts has he had? How good did he look today? I thought he looked great. I mean, you know what? You're not going to be perfect.
I wouldn't say he looked great, but he was all right.
His life.
Yeah. He was all right today.
Well, yeah, okay, fair enough. All right. I'll take all right, though. Yeah. From Dustin McGowan.
As will I. I'd rather take all right from Dustin McGowan than take Jay Happ every fifth day.
Or Ricky Romero.
Sure.
You know, are you going to bring Ricky Romero back in and replace Dustin McGowan with Ricky Romero? No, I think everybody said it right, and they've said it right over and over again, yourself included. Dustin McGowan has some of the nastiest stuff this team has seen since Roy Halladay. It's just about bringing the health to the game. And if he can hold together 30 games this year, I think I'm really excited to watch the guy play.
That is a huge if, and we're all praying for that. But if he doesn't, then Aaron Sanchez and Marcus Stroman plugging away down in the minor leagues. Hopefully we'll be ready to take over. We're out of time. Thanks for all the calls. Appreciate it. Sorry to the ones we couldn't get to. We'll do this again tomorrow night. Blue Jays drop both ends of a doubleheader. Thanks to Riccio. Thanks to Bunkus. I'll see you tomorrow on Baseball Central.